This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Tuesday, T-Boy, Tuesday, March 12th. And today's pod is the best one yet. It's a T-Boy.
The top three pop business news stories you need to know today.
Jack, you grown out that beard over there because we're recording in Brooklyn this week, or what's going on?
I'm wearing flannel and looking faux rugged because I'm headed over to Williamsburg this morning.
You know it is the mandatory uniform, Jack. Yetis, we have a fantastic show for you. Jack, what's on today's pod?
For our first story, this week is the four-year anniversary of the COVID pandemic.
So Jack and I are taking a moment to look at what's different and what's the same exactly 4 years later.
For our second story, it's Panera. The half salad, half soup, and half sandwich chain is going public once again.
Panera has made one big change to their standards, and we can see it in the bacon.
And our third and final story is Boeing. The problems continue for Boeing. Another scary accident in the air yesterday. Fortunately, they landed the plane, though.
Jack, if it's Boeing, you may not be going.
There is one reason Nick and I found for Boeing's epic reputational downfall.
And we jumped into it T-Boy style.
But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix of stories.
Fantastic mix of stories. I have got your shave cream ready for you, Jack. A little bit of wax.
As this pod is publishing Tuesday morning, I just arrived in New York City to join Nick, who got here last night.
There's a whole lot of history in these New York City streets. Can you break it down for us over there?
After Philadelphia, but before Washington, D.C., New York City was the capital of these United States in 1785.
New York City founded Wall Street back in 1792.
1988, Nicholas A. Martel was born in New York City.
And in 1959, Jack's mother was born in New York City.
New York City, it's the home of both the $1 slice of pizza and the $101 manicure.
Cash only, not including tip.
But Nick and I have a huge announcement that's extremely New York relevant.
Yeti, sit down, stand up, and hail a cab again, because on April 24th this year, New York City is the home of the T-Boy Live show.
That's right. New York City, T-Boy Live. It's happening Wednesday, April 24th. We can't wait to see you there.
The city that never sleeps is getting the pop biz news that always pops.
Nick and I are going to bring all the razzle dazzle that New York deserves and that the R train can handle.
And then we're going to throw some sprinkle dinkle downtown, aren't we, Jack?
Because to quote our favorite greater New York City musician, Frank Sinatra,
if you can podcast here, you can podcast anywhere.
For those interested, here's the details. Nick, when is the show happening?
Jack, the show's happening Wednesday, April 24th, 6 p.m.
Where exactly?
It's happening at City Winery in Meatpacking on the Hudson River.
And how can Yetis get involved?
Tickets go on sale this Thursday, 2 days from today.
Yetis, you want to be there. We have a link in this episode description where you can buy your tickets on Thursday.
And besties, this happens to be the biggest show in New York City since Harry met Sally.
We'll have what she's having. And you will too.
So get ready to snag a ticket like it's a reservation at Carbone.
Like it's a box seat at Yankee Stadium.
Like it's a rent control apartment in the West Village, doorman included.
You're going to want one of these tickets, okay?
So Yetis, check out the description in today's episode. The link is live and you can buy tickets on Thursday.
We are so freaking pumped for our first New York City live show. Snag those tickets while you can.
I'm walking here. Until then though, Jack, let's hit our three stories.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea that caused a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show. Start
the show. First, a quick word from our sponsor.
This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Finally, can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay, second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. 4, our first story. This week is the 4-year anniversary of the pandemic.
On COVID's 4th birthday, we're not singing it a song. We're actually going to look back at the economic story of these past 4 years.
4 years since the start of the pandemic. That is almost half a decade, man. That is a serious amount of time.
Since the pandemic began, you could have gone to college and completed a 4-year degree.
Jack, since the pandemic began, you could have competed in 2 different Olympics. Like, I can see a long jumping and skiing, and I could see a running in the marathon.
Haven't there somehow been 3 Olympics since COVID began? I feel like there have been because of a delay.
It's been a surprisingly long time since the pandemic began, and it's been messing with our minds.
But we want to go back to exactly 4 years and 1 day ago. On March 11th, 2020.
4 years ago, there were 4 events that happened on that single day, March 11th, that turned a health story into the only story.
First, on March 11th, the NBA canceled the rest of the basketball season.
And that was the first thing to get COVID canceled.
Then, Tom Hanks announced that he got COVID.
The first famous person to get sick with the disease.
On that same day, President Trump issued a travel ban forbidding anyone from Europe to come to the United States.
The first of many travel restrictions.
And finally, the World Health Organization made it official by formally declaring that COVID-19 was a pandemic.
A global epidemic. Those 4 events all happened on the same day, March 11th, 2020.
Now, back on March 11th, 2020, America had only tallied 38 official COVID-19 deaths.
But today, on March 11th, 2024, there have been over 1 million deaths in the United States.
It's been 4 long, crazy, and wild years. So much happened. We want to compare and contrast March 2020 to March 2024.
Because as Jack and I were preparing for this story, we noticed there are some really shocking differences that you did not expect, except when you look at the numbers.
The biggest difference has to be in the prevalence of remote work.
And here's the data. Yetis, there has been a 5x jump in the number of remote work days that everyone is using. Remote work has basically become institutionalized.
It's one of the huge megatrends of the pandemic that did not reverse itself.
And here's another interesting thing Jack and I discovered. 4 years ago, the average American lived 10 miles away from work.
But today, because of remote work, the average American lives 27 miles away from where they work.
That's almost a tripling of the average commute time in the United States.
But if you look at the average commute, the numbers are different depending on your income.
Then it gets even more interesting because the lowest income workers still live close to work.
The lowest income Americans still live 11 miles from where they work.
But the highest income Americans live even further away from work.
It's the high income CEOs who are zooming in from Jackson Hole. They're the ones that skew this commute situation to a really long distance.
Boss can't talk right now on the chairlift. Now, when it comes to travel, besties, we see even more shocking differences between now and 4 years ago.
4 years ago, airline travel completely plummeted. It plummeted by 96% from normal levels.
We were all wondering, am I ever going to actually get to visit Bali again? Is that even going to be physically possible?
Well, 4 years later, we can say, yes, you will visit Bali if you want to.
Because Yetis, air travel today is not just where it was before the pandemic. It is 10% higher than it was before the pandemic.
So air travel has completely returned. What about events?
Well, 4 years ago, on March 11th, 2020, literally every concert got canceled, from the Rolling Stones to Avril Lavigne.
We wondered, will this change live events for the rest of time? Are we just going to wear headsets to attend live events from now on?
Avril, are we never going to get to see you in person as you always promised us?
No, the answer is no. In fact, this month, Live Nation is celebrating their highest sales ever as people completely return to concerts.
And Taylor Swift just set the record with the first ever $1 billion concert tour.
So when it came to travel and events, they both dropped down to zero and then surged back with authority.
But here's the funny thing for Jack and me. It's not just down and then up that we find interesting. It's also, confusingly, the up and then down trends compared to 4 years ago.
4 years ago, Zoom went up. The stock jumped 400% early on in the pandemic.
But today, compared to 4 years ago, Zoom stock is actually 40% lower.
Shockingly, the pandemic was a net negative for Zoom.
So if you add it all up, basically the pandemic, it changed where we live, but then it didn't really change how we're living.
Yeah, like a lot of people you know may have moved, but then when they moved there, they sort of returned to their pre-pandemic habits.
Apparently they then decided to get on an airplane and then travel and go to concerts everywhere, Jack.
More than they used to. Yeah, they did. Making up for lost time still.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for all our buddies looking back on March 11th, 2020?
The pandemic shows the power of not panicking.
Yeah, let's start with some context here. The worst day for the stock market so far this year, January 31st, what happened to the S&P 500, Jack?
It fell by 1.5%. But what was the worst day for the stock market in March 2020, Nick?
4 years ago, the S&P 500 fell 15%.
The worst day of March 2020 was 10 times worse than the worst day of this year so far.
And by the end of that panic 4 years ago, stocks had fallen 37%.
Now, it would have been understandable if you had panicked too and sold all your investments because cash can't lose value, right?
But looking back in hindsight, that actually was the worst thing you could have done.
Because Wall Street has completely recovered from the pandemic panic. We actually now sit at an all-time record high that is way higher than it was 4 years ago.
After falling 15% in March 2020, the S&P 500 is 121% higher now than 4 years ago.
So 4 years after the pandemic, here's the investing lesson for us all.
There's power in not panicking. For our second story, Panera, the half soup, half salad, half sandwich chain, is going public again.
But you may have noticed something changing at Panera, and Nick and I found the reason why.
Yeah, is it like your preferred charging station, like right near Panera? Are you always dipping in there? You've called me from a Panera before, I remember.
White River Junction, right where 89 and 91 meet. We stop at this EV station right next to Panera. I get the passion papaya iced green tea every time. That's something else, man.
Yeah, I'm like trying to go over podcast stories with Jack, and he's like, I got garlic aioli in my mouth. I can't talk right now. Anyway, he loves that Panera. But Yetis, Panera, if you haven't been, it's like the anti-Atkins stock, right, Jack?
At Panera, they carry more carbs on the balance sheet than cash. Let's put it that way.
Profits? Nah, pumpernickel. That's what they got.
Find me a restaurant chain that's more obsessed with bread.
I mean, they're so obsessed, Jack. Their name literally means era of bread. Panera. That's what it is.
Panera. I didn't know that until you just told me today.
It's a St. Louis-based bakery and chain, and they've got 2,000 locations, not too shabby.
It's a bakery and a cafe, and they're pulling off a Wall Street comeback this year.
Because, Yeti, 7 years ago, Panera was a publicly traded stock. You could buy it in the market.
But in 2017, Nick and I covered it on our newsletter, Panera got acquired by JAB, a food-focused private equity firm that wanted to make some changes to the chain.
So in the last few years, they've made some changes. Like they've instituted a loyalty program that now has 52 million Americans and Canadians eating at Panera's.
So that PE firm figures, job well done. Let's cash out and take our profit.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
They want to do a second IPO for Panera, and they're hoping to sell it for a much higher price than they bought it for. So sometime this year, you're going to be able to buy shares of Panera while you share your broccoli cheddar soup and half salad and half sandwich.
It is an IPO, initial panini offering.
Panini is such a hilarious word.
But yet, here's what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. Have you noticed something different at your local Panera recently?
The classic Panera artwork on the walls, the pictures of the fields and the farms, so wholesome.
Gone.
How about the Panera posters that say, no antibiotics ever?
Gone.
What about the menu label of grass-fed, free-range beef?
Jack, I'm sorry to tell you, as you drink that passion papaya iced green tea, those are gone too.
Because Yetis, Reuters reports that Panera has relaxed their food principles. From the interior design to what they put in the menu.
Now, Panera says that we continue to hold ourselves to high standards, but apparently not the highest standards.
How would you describe your standards, Greg? I'd say high to quite high.
Now, Yetis, Jack and I jumped in T-boy style here, and the wildest example of Panera loosening their food standards is with bacon.
Panera recently wanted to add an avocado bacon melt to the menu, which sounds delicious, but Panera faced a problem with that.
The old Panera had such high food standards that they couldn't source enough antibiotic-free bacon for their new bacon product.
Well, the new Panera decided they're okay with antibiotic-raised pork, so they're selling 36% more bacon than they were before.
Jack, why is Panera lowering all their standards right now?
To save money. Reuters reports they'll save $21 million a year with their lower food standards.
Panera, they're basically shopping at Kroger grocery store instead of the local co-op farmer's market.
Nick, they got a lot of half sandwich, half salad, half soups to make. They need to save grocery bills too.
But it's actually bigger than that, Yetis. A lot bigger. So Jack, what's the takeaway for all our buddies over at Panera?
An IPO is like financial Ozempic.
Yetis, from Jack's and my Wall Street experience, we can tell you that what Panera's doing right now is totally normal before an IPO.
As a company prepares to go public, they want to look as good and profitable as possible to the public investors that are going to buy their stock.
So often soon-to-be public companies try to trim a little bit of the fat and cut some cuttable costs.
Yeah, they review payroll. They cut the extra perks that they think are unnecessary. They streamline the reporting structure and they simplify the menu.
And sometimes they reduce the quality of their products if they think it won't hurt sales too much.
It's all about getting in good economic shape before that big public market day.
And that's why, the way Jack and I see it, preparing for an IPO is like taking financial Ozempic.
Before debuting on public markets, companies need to get financially fit.
Now, a quick word from our sponsor.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Yetis, how good is the feeling of finally getting something off your chest?
You've been wanting to say it. You've been waiting to say it.
But you bottled it up.
In Waspy, Vermont, where I grew up, we didn't talk much about our problems. We were encouraged to keep them to yourself.
Yetis, bottling up your feelings is just horrible for you because eventually it blows up with an outburst. And then while it's stewing, it makes your whole stomach feel terrible.
We encourage you to get it off your chest. And the perfect place to do that is therapy.
You will not believe how good it feels to say something that has been left unsaid, and you can practice with a therapist and then end up telling your loved ones the best way possible later on.
You don't have to tell them, but you could. It's 100% up to you. Oh, and by the way, what you tell your therapist remains completely confidential.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/T-Boy today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/T-Boy.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling.
Protect her.
That's from the opening chapter of The Last Thing He Told Me.
Or is it Protect Her?
It's Protect Her.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's a thrilling mystery my wife and I listened to on Audible.
It actually got adapted into a TV show, but it was way more riveting as an audiobook, wasn't it, man?
It's about a tech executive who disappears when his company gets indicted on accounting fraud.
But he disappeared to protect her. And honestly, we shouldn't say anymore. Let's stop there.
Listen to the whole audiobook on Audible while driving in the car on road trips.
And you should too. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/T-Boy or text T-Boy to 500-500.
That's audible.com/T-Boy or text T-Boy to 500-500. For our third and final story, Boeing just had another scary plane event yesterday. That is their third in a week.
But if you want to know what really went wrong at Boeing, it all goes back to one decision they made 30 years ago.
Jack, full disclosure, just landed in New York from San Francisco, flew on a Boeing 757. It actually worked great.
Oh, that's good.
I'm here. One piece, baby, one piece.
You know, I recently moved my loyalty to United Airlines from Delta.
I'm not judging you, but I'm judging you.
All they fly is 737 Maxes.
Good luck with that, Jack. But Yetis, yesterday, a Boeing 787 abruptly dropped mid-flight. 50 people actually got injured yesterday.
What happened yesterday was reportedly like turbulence, but way worse. There was a technical problem with the airplane that caused an awful jerk while they were way up in the sky.
Now, fortunately, LATAM Airlines landed safely in New Zealand, but 10 people had to go to the hospital. They were banged up from this Boeing flight.
Yetis, with Boeing's awful safety record recently, it's no wonder flyers are trying to avoid flying in Boeing airplanes.
In fact, Jack, what was that wild thing you discovered on Kayak, like the travel search website?
On Kayak, you can now search for flights that don't fly on Boeing 737 MAXs. They added that filter.
You're like, I only want nonstops. I only want business class. I do not want to be on a Boeing plane.
Yetis, there was once a time when pilots and passengers would say, if it ain't Boeing, I ain't going.
But now passengers are saying, if it's Boeing, I ain't going.
But here's the interesting thing Nick and I found about this story. Boeing safety problems didn't come all of a sudden. They can actually be traced back to one decision they made 27 years ago.
Yeah, recently the team at Last Week Tonight, the TV show with John Oliver, they dove into Boeing's history.
And they discovered how management made a profound shift in strategy 27 years ago.
Management replaced their focus on safety with a focus on profits.
And it all started when they acquired an airplane-making rival called McDonnell Douglas back in 1997.
But here's the problem, Yetis. McDonnell Douglas had a bad safety record when Boeing acquired them in 1997.
McDonnell Douglas made the infamous DC-10, which was like one step up from a paper airplane. It was responsible for over 1,100 fatalities.
And despite that brutal record, Boeing adopted McDonnell's cost-cutting gospel company-wide for all of Boeing after the deal.
First, Boeing started outsourcing the actual making of the plane because it was more profitable that way.
Boeing sold away all the manufacturing and just basically became an assembly company.
Then, Boeing moved the executives from Seattle, where the planes are actually made, way over to Chicago instead.
Boeing moved the CEO away from the manufacturing to get closer to the money.
And finally, Boeing cut a bunch of safety corners, which are well documented in the investigation of those two 737 MAX crashes.
Add it all up, Yetis, and Boeing, once a brand that inspired American confidence, is now associated with blown off doors
and loose screws.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for all our buddies over at Boeing?
Reputations don't last forever. Reputations require investment.
Yetis, for the first 80 years of Boeing, they invested in quality and safety, and they earned a reputation.
Like we said, if it ain't Boeing, I ain't going.
But for the last 30 years, they invested in one thing and one thing only: the stock price.
In the 5 years before those two 737 MAX crashes that killed a lot of people, Boeing sent 92% of their cash flow to shareholders.
92% to shareholders, but just 8% to investments in itself.
Boeing spent 92% of their cash flow on dividends and share buybacks, not on research or development.
Boeing didn't spend money on factories, on innovation, on training workers, on training pilots. Boeing did not invest in itself.
They were razor focused on the share price instead of on safety.
Boeing's recent CEOs, they inherited the best reputation in air travel.
But they squandered it all by failing to invest in the things that earned them that strong reputation: safety.
So it's a reminder to everyone in business: reputations don't last forever.
If you don't invest in your reputation, then it's going to rust, it's going to erode, and eventually, it's going to disappear.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us for T-Boy Tuesday?
On March 11th, 2020, exactly 4 years ago, the pandemic truly began.
And the investing lesson from the pandemic is to not panic.
Every stock market crisis in history has eventually recovered.
Second takeaway, what do we have, Jack?
Panera is loosening their food standards to save some money before their IPO.
Because an IPO is like financial Ozempic. It gets you financially fit.
And our third and final story is Boeing. Their downfall is actually the result of a decision they made 27 years ago: prioritize profit over safety.
Reputations, they don't last forever. Reputations require investment.
But Yetis, this pod's not over yet. Here's what else you need to know today.
First, the lost winter of 2023-2024 is coming to an end.
Get this. The average temperatures in the lower 48 states were a shocking 5.4 degrees above average this winter, according to new NOAA data.
And second, it isn't just the four-year anniversary of COVID. It's also the one-year anniversary of the Silicon Valley bank crisis.
1 year ago, I was on paternity leave. We actually were taking a short break from the pod because of it, but techies and venture capitalists were making a run on Silicon Valley Bank.
I was a Silicon Valley Bank client, and I was getting a lot of awkward, scary emails 1 year ago, Jack.
It shook our confidence in regional mid-sized banks, and regulators are still trying to update rules because of it.
And finally, South by Southwest just kicked off down in lovely Austin, Texas.
What is South by Southwest, Nick?
It is the tech industry, the media industry, and the music industry getting together for one big playdate in Austin, Jack.
Lots of big corporate announcements happen, and we'll probably cover a couple of them on the pod this week.
Now, time for the best fact yet. This one sent in by Jumana Sade from lovely Ann Arbor, Michigan.
This is a great trivia question. What is the oldest continuously operating degree awarding university in the world? First thought, Oxford, Cambridge.
Well, it's actually a university founded in the year 859 in Fez, Morocco. It's the University Kairouan.
This university was founded almost 1,400 years ago. Nick, it's three times older than Harvard University.
And it was founded by a Muslim woman named Fatma Al-Faria.
For 1,000 years, this university taught astronomy, medicine, math, law, theology, and now probably social media influencing.
It is the oldest university in the world, founded by a Muslim woman 1,200 years ago. You can't get a better fact on Ramadan and Women's History Month, Jack. Yetis, you are looking fantastic today. And if you're roaming the streets in New York City, you're looking extra fantastic, and we can't wait to see you.
Hold on. If you're roaming the streets in New York City, look up, because Nick and I are going all the way up today to make an announcement live on Instagram Live.
And then for safety reasons, look both ways before you look up.
Seriously, Yetis, follow us at TboyPod on Instagram for our live announcement later today.
Tickets go on sale Thursday. In the meantime, get ready. We can't wait to see you. It's going to be a T-Boy. And before we go, congratulations to Yeti's Patty Badger Serino and Eric, who met in an elevator during COVID 4 years ago and just got engaged in San Francisco.
I guess they met before social distancing.
I assume it was on March 11th, Jack. And Ona Saltzman in Manhattan Beach, California just got a new job and also just got engaged. Let's see some ring pics.
What the heck?
The happy birthday to Caleb Wayne down in Austin, Texas.
And happy birthday to Alex Guo, who just got promoted over in New York City.
And Talia Hill, a former Texas cheerleader, just got a new job at TikTok over in D.C., we assume working on policy.
And a huge shout out to Mrs. Remley's marketing class over in Kearney, Missouri. They've been listening to the show every day and are about to go on spring break. And they're going to listen every day of spring break, aren't they, Nick?
And Anakin Benzin, a two-month-old baby in San Jose. His parents got him to listen to our snooze pod over the weekend, Jack, and apparently he slept through the whole night.
Anybody who's short on sleep right now, by the way, listen to the snooze pod that we published on Saturday. It'll doze you right off to sleep. This is Jack. Nick and I both own ETFs of the S&P 500. If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with 2 chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 supports your cardiovascular health. Visit RadioBeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.